Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take a look today at St. Peter's proclamation of the gospel to men of Israel who were gathered in the temple following the miracle that Peter performed, that the Lord performed through Peter, of raising up a crippled man at the Gate Beautiful in the temple. That sign and wonder that happened gathered a crowd. How did this happen? Because they knew the man, and he was dancing and leaping. They had never seen that before. And so Peter takes the opportunity, because people gather around him, because he's the one who, by his words, this man was raised. They probably had seen Peter before in the temple. Like, what's going on? And so this is what signs and wonders do. We have to pray for more of that in the life of the church and more boldness in all of our lives, all who are baptized into Christ, because the Lord can use any of his people for something like this. So that's the scene. And then it says in verse 11, while he clung to Peter and John, that is this man who was healed, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. They came together astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Now here's the content, what we want to listen to closely. What is it that Peter was most wanting to communicate? What did the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus said to him, Peter, the apostles, you'll be in these kinds of situations. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. He'll inspire you. And I'm sure it'll also flow from the teaching that Jesus gave them, the words they heard Jesus preach again and again. And the whole message now as disciples is to communicate faithfully and to bear witness faithfully to what Jesus gave to them and what they heard from him. So here's Peter. It says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? It's very helpful to just see this. First thing Peter has to say to them is, why do you wonder? Now, because what we saw was wonderful. That's what I would have said. Like, this is amazing. Now, Peter, of course, is saying you shouldn't wonder too much about it because Jesus did this very kind of thing. You know, he's probably assuming they saw Peter with Jesus. And it's not the first time many of these people probably had seen a miracle. And then he said, and then why do you stare at us? Like, as if it's about us, like we did something. They said, well, you're the ones. I could imagine, you know, guys say, well, wait a minute. Well, you're the one who said, rise and walk. But Peter's trying to make a very important point. This man, and he'll go on. What is it that made this man walk? And Peter goes right into this, speaking to Jewish people, right in the holiest place on the planet, the Jewish temple. Verse 12. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, whom he had decided to release to him. So Peter's going directly to using this moment as an opportunity to proclaim to them and interpret for them again, who was this man Jesus? Who is this man Jesus? And what did he bring? And what does he have to do with us, other Jewish people? And how are we to respond to him? So Peter begins by lining them up and said, look, we're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. So this is people of Israel. These are the men of Israel. And he says, remember, God, this God, our God, glorified his servant, his son, Jesus. And remember, Jesus, the one you delivered up, and the leaders who were there and the crowds who said, crucify him, crucify him. Probably some of those people were right there. And he's saying, you delivered him up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. So there he is. He's putting all these people right at that very moment. But you denied the holy and righteous one, and you asked for a murderer to be granted to you. Now, Peter isn't exactly winning friends and influencing people at this moment. Like, he had them in the palm of his hand when they were standing in wonder and awe. And Peter could have said, hey, we can do more of that. Come and follow us. Come on, let's go to my house and have something to eat. Let's celebrate. No, he used it as a teaching, a moment that they could come to see what happened and what they themselves had a hand in. He's interpreting for them who Jesus is. They thought they were giving over a false prophet for Barabbas, making an exchange. They caught up in the madness of that moment in the crowd. But Peter's making it clear, who is it that you denied? You denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. And to this, we are witnesses. This is the core of the preaching of the apostles right here. You killed him, God raised him, and we're witnesses to the fact that he's alive. And the reason he's alive is that he indeed is the holy and righteous one. He is the author of life, and there's no one else like him. Peter goes on, and his name, by faith in his name, that is in the name of Jesus, has made this man strong whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So circle back. Peter is saying, don't look at us like there's something about me, my piety, my power. Peter was so clear. This isn't about my power or about my piety. The reason this man is standing in front of you right now is that I have to take you back to explain it, he's saying. Our God sent his son, his servant, and you denied him and you killed him. Now, Peter could have thrown in there, and I denied him myself the night he was brought in and arrested. But he said, you denied him, thinking he was some kind of criminal. But I need you to know, because there's no other way I can explain to you the undeniable reality of what just happened to this man who's been sitting at the Gate Beautiful for years and years and years, begging people. Helpless. This man was helpless. He couldn't walk. And this undeniable reality, the transformation of this man has happened, a man we all know. And you might think it's me or John. It's not. We're servants of the King. The reason he could get up and walk and that he's been made new right before our eyes is that the man you killed is the author of life, the holy and righteous one, Jesus of Nazareth. And we spoke in his name, and it was in the authority of his name. And belief in his name that caused this man to rise. It's Jesus. He did it, and he did it through us, weak and broken people, just like you. And this man's walking before us is a sign, just like the resurrection of Jesus is a sign. And we're witnessing to you, trust us. We think it's wonderful that this poor man is now walking. But all this is about something deeper, to a reality that we ourselves witnessed, that we saw and we touched, and we're here to tell you. Jesus is no longer dead. He's not in the tomb any longer. He's alive. And as he preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter will tell him, he's at the right hand of the Father. So he goes on. It's the name of Jesus. It's faith in the name of Jesus. Remember, Peter had that faith. What I have, I give you. How many baptized people, even bishops, can say and feel like genuinely with a living, vital, strong faith, what I have, I give you? Are we aware of what we've been given? Those of us who've been baptized into Christ, of no merit of our own, really, right? It's a total gift from God. He saved us, who too were sinners. Peter goes on, verse 17, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ, that means the Messiah, the anointed, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled it. You can go all the way back to Luke's account of the first appearance of Jesus to the apostles in Luke's account. And Jesus said, you're going to do this very thing. Jesus said, it was the will of my Father. You know, it was not a mistake that I died on a cross. It wasn't plan B. It was plan A. That the Messiah, the anointed one of Israel, that would come not only to save Israel, but the whole world, was sent to suffer and to die. So right here, Peter, they're listening to Peter again, the conviction of the Holy Spirit's coming upon them. And Peter's always leading to the following here in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old. This is what the preaching of the kerygma includes, that germ cell, the core declaration. The church lives for this message, friends. The church doesn't primarily live to be a social service organization in the world, even though we do social service work. It doesn't exist to be like the flagship defender of political issues and social justice issues and fixing the politics of the world and all of that. The church cares about that. The church is involved in all these areas of life that matter for human beings and the dignity of human life. But those things are not the core. What is the core? The core is bringing people to this very point, to a point of coming to terms with who Jesus is, having to understand why he came, that he came to save sinners, and that's everybody. He came to die for sin. He became sin for us, a sacrifice for sin. And he rose again he went through everything, not just to make America's democracy better or to unite, you know, all of Ireland or whatever you want to say. I mean, these things matter, but it's not the core of what the church is bringing the world. And what it includes is this response to the truth about who Jesus is and what he's done. Peter's so clear. He closes the deal, so to speak. He said, how can you know, what has this meant? For you to repent, to turn, to come and have your sins forgiven, because the prophets prophesied this. Friends, we'll take this up again tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.